We'll do it like we have been, you know, the last 15, 16 months, and you know, we'll prepare for any sort of scenario. At this stage, our expectation is still that the game is Friday, so we'll prepare like the game is Friday. We'll review as we usually do and as we can at the moment, and then we'll give the guys the best possible information to give them the best chance to win this week.
That is the voice of Nathan Bassett from the Port Adelaide Football Club. They are scheduled at this stage to play Collingwood Friday night to kick off round 19. It is subject to government conditions, though, because South Australian cases now have changed the parameters in Adelaide. Johnny Ralph is all across this and what it means for the AFL, not just that game, but the other games that are going to be affected or changed in round 19 from the Herald Sun and Fox Footy doing great things. Buzz, good morning.
Hello, Half. Yeah, we should have taken more note when the fixture came out. What was it, 4:30 yesterday? It literally had an asterisk on those two games that will be played in Adelaide. And obviously when another case, a third case was announced last night, we all wondered what happened. And then in the last, half an hour, a fourth case there. So they're not in three-day lockdown over in South Australia, but there are, you know, level four restrictions. And so what that does mean right now is that the AFL's on shaky ground, and yet still, you know, reasonably optimistic that it can use that. Well, it's called a sterile corridor, Half, but I think we need to come up with a different name for it. I don't know if it's a squeaky clean pathway or something, because the sterile corridor doesn't do it for me. But
the pristine pathway.
Like they're a good chance, to play. What it probably will mean almost certainly is no crowds at Adelaide Oval. And, you know, as we speak, the two clubs trying to get training exemptions to literally train ahead of those clashes on Friday for Port Adelaide and Saturday against the Hawks for the Crows.
So from what you know at the moment, certainly for Friday night, that will go ahead under strict conditions.
That's right, yeah. So Collingwood, Geelong, other clubs have been able to play when Melbourne's in lockdown, getting across there with the 60 hours of quarantine. So I think if both are in lockdown, it probably doesn't matter. Again, you know, really specific exemptions, no crowds, you know, all the rigmarole that we've seen for clubs on either end of the scale. Port Adelaide right now is still in lockdown, or is supposed to be coming out of lockdown, given they had those 48 hours from the Saturday game in terms of quarantine. They played whoever they played. God, it's all jumbled now. But you know, so that will help. But they played St Kilda, of course.
They did.
But, worst case scenario, what are we doing? We're dragging those teams into Melbourne and then they can't get back. So I think that will go ahead unless we see an explosion of numbers in South Australia.
So to add some context to those that have only just caught up with the news this morning, there were three cases detected in South Australia. So a guy that had been in Argentina had gone into quarantine in New South Wales. In Sydney, he goes back home to Adelaide and finds he's got the virus, and he spread it to two people he knows, I think two family members, Ralphie. But then as a result of that, he didn't know he had it. And like in the situation here, he's gone to a petrol station, he's gone to a couple of Dan Murphy's, he's gone to
a Bunnings somewhere.
No, a Foodland shopping centre. He also went to the Tab. Why wouldn't he? And he went to a Chemist Warehouse. So he's gone to quite a few places, and that's why we're in this situation we're in South Australia, that they've got onto it incredibly quickly. And hopefully, the goalpost might change as late as this weekend, Ralphie.
Yeah, that's right. And look, the great Mark Stevens suggested that we should have a history in our app that would show us where we've been. I mean, for you and me, it'd be a pancake parlour, it'd be
Correct.
KFC, it'd be the
Correct.
Golf range. So, you know, as much as we can laugh about it, the reason why the AFL's forging ahead with this season is that, so we've got cases in South Australia, in Queensland, in New South Wales, in Victoria. You know, we don't seem able to, we're limiting it, but we're not, you know, reducing the numbers right now. And so the AFL's very strong stance is that we could get to a situation where everyone's in this New South Wales mode. What have we got, 4 or 6 weeks? Not to be alarmist. Let's get this season done. Now, they're not looking to expedite games and to crunch the footy frenzy, but they feel like, you know, putting 1 or 2 weeks for buys in would not help. As I say, what if it gets worse and we can't get this season done? Then we've got to then we've got the AFL's doomsday scenario, and that's why they'll just keep marching ahead despite these players, you know, missing games and very good players at that.
So does it get to a point, if it gets any worse, Ralph, and we talked about the Giants and the Sydney thing yesterday and the players that missed, that there starts to become a conversation about the integrity of this particular edition of the competition?
No, it doesn't. No. And look, I saw a couple of CEOs yesterday saying, what's the tipping point here?
Yeah.
But what are we? We're still at a list of 40, aren't we? So, well, quite clearly, if you had, you know, the entire team had gone to a rugby game and then were not able to play, or the entire, you know, squad, well, they wouldn't be able to play a team. But, yeah, I think what we're seeing now is, I think 13 of the 18 teams, you know, those in Victoria and a couple that are, you know, interstate, are on those enhanced protocols. So, you know, I put the point to the AFL, you know, yesterday. What if it happened in the grand final? You know, what if three or four of your best players weren't able to play? And they said the very strong point of view is that if you're an AFL player, in grand final week especially, you're training, you're staying at home, you know, you're not even going out to the supermarket, you're not even going out to the cafe. And so, look, if the price of, you know, your freedom as an AFL player, it is absolutely not an obligation, you know, it's a privilege to play football. Well, you probably just don't go down to the cafe and get your flat white. You know, you get the Nescafe, the Nespresso Gold or whatever it is. That's just what's going to happen to you as an AFL player if you want to safeguard your ability to play every week.
Josh Dunkley's felt that. The poor old chili scrambled eggs, which I do quite like at any venue. He's gone the oat latte, which is controversial, and now it's a tier one exposure site.
Almost penalised for having an oat.
Well, no, I was just about to say it's probably fair enough for the oat latte, Johnny Ralph, but that's the reality now for these guys, isn't it?
No doubt. And look, it's not even, you know, I was talking about AFLPA yesterday, you know, there's a couple of sites in Cremorne and Richmond, and they, you know, they were 15-minute exposure sites. They said they weren't even within the cafes. They were the where you get your takeaway coffee, milling around there for 15 minutes. Now you'd be, you know, you had to be dead to be stiff. But they said that's how dangerous it is right now for you to be an AFL player when you can, you know, so quickly be, you know, a tier one site. So, you know, I think there'll be some players who'll struggle with that. But I also think that there's a lot of people who are struggling in lockdown. And if you want to be an AFL player earning an average of $300,000 a year, well, your wife goes out, or you just get the kids to run down to the coffee shop, or as I say, you George cleaning it up, and you get in the espresso machine or the AeroPress or whatever it is, you just stay away from any site that could be a tier one exposure site.
Yeah, well, Cheeky Monkey is one of the exposure sites, which is in Swan Street, which is, by the way, they're very good hot chocolates, but it is a very popular cafe for the Richmond players, and I think some of the Collingwood players as well. But that just shows it's almost dumb luck whether you do or don't get yourself involved in an exposure site as it stands at the moment. Now, hopefully, Ralphie, with this lockdown, that those exposure sites drop dramatically quite quickly and we can get back to some sort of normality quite quickly. But at the moment, that's just not a reality.
No, spot on. And look, you know, it's almost, you know, it's almost cruel that you spoke to Dylan Shield, you know, going up to Noosa. You know, yes, you can go up to Noosa, but you can't avail yourself of any of the issues there. They are still getting a takeaway coffee, but, you know, obviously the case numbers in Queensland and Noosa are, you know, next to nothing. But I thought it's almost like you know, throwing you at Augusta, Whitey, an open course, and then saying, hey, guys, you're not allowed to jump on and have a putt. You know, those guys aren't allowed to wander down and get a Betty's burger and, you know, go along the beach. Obviously, they can have a little walk, but effectively they're quarantined at their hotels. It's almost cruel, but, you know, that's what Essendon's doing, and that's what we're living under. So for Essendon, they're hopeful of getting back on Friday and playing that game against GWS next Sunday. I think it's almost certain not to happen. So the Sydney Freo game is I think it's 12:35 on Sunday at Metricon. I think we'll see it the same as we saw it last Sunday, you know, Essendon versus GWS at 6:10, you know, as a doubleheader, yep, at Metricon Stadium with enough time to turn that game around.
Buzz, what about the Blues? You media types are trying to call for David Teague's head. He was on 360 last night.
I'm still up and about because Carlton's won.
Your media types are all coming hard for my man. He's won three of the four games since the review process was announced. Is he looking more secure than ever?
Well, unlike some Carlton coaches who couldn't get the best out of Taylor Harris, Daniel Harper, he's improving his players, and that is so critical. Yes, they want to win games. Of course, they've been against mediocre opponents. But, you know, I always, you know, looked at what Brett Ratten was able to do at Carlton there, and he could improve the likes of Andrew Walker and Chris Yaron and so many of those players in different positions. You know, that's what he's doing right now. With Liam Stocker, we're seeing all of a sudden, you know, the grunt and the beautiful, you know, kicking. You know, Tom DeConnig is showing something. Zach Silvani. Yes, Sam Walsh is a great player as a pick one, but, you know, he's improved him, brought him into the midfield. He's kicking the ball better. So, look, you know, he's clearly not guaranteed, but I would think if you're a Carlton fan right now, you're thinking, we keep him on unless Alistair Clarkson wants us. So it's probably, you know, Clarko or bust for David Teague. You know, you just can't really see them, given that Brad Lloyd and their chief executive and Kane Little back this bloke in. They think he's improving. He's only 49 games into a career. They want him there. Clearly, if Luke Sayers can get Alistair Clarkson across the line, well, I think we would all agree that that's the best, you know, remedy for Carlton. Would you guys agree with that philosophy? Almost, you know, it's either Teague or it's Hardwick, but it's Clarkson, but it's no one else.
Yeah, well, I would think that's absolutely the outcome. I still can't see a way that Teague loses his job, I must admit. I can't see it.
Well, my view...
What if Clarko rolls into town at a press conference on Thursday and says, you know, I'm out of here, and actually I don't want to give up a gap year from 2022. I want to coach a club. I think every Carlton fan would say that has to happen.
But the Messiah complex hasn't worked very often in footy, and that's effectively what would happen if Clarko comes in. And I'm not downplaying his influence on football, far be it, in fact. But the Messiah complex very rarely works, Buzz.
No, I understand that. And you know, Carlton has a pretty recent example, obviously through Mick Malthouse. But, I mean, not to besmirch Mick in any way, but, I mean, you know, this is a guy at the absolute peak of his powers. We've seen that, you know, as recently as this weekend. Now, the really fascinating thing for the Hawthorn Football Club is that, you know, I think there's some people there, whether it's board level or whether it's, you know, the powers that be, to think, you know, he's had 5 years since the premiership. We've topped up. We gave him all of the salary cap room that he desired. And he still hasn't been able to even play finals, let alone get close to winning a flag. And so, you know, Carolyn Wilson reported, you know, last night on Footy Classified that there was some, you know, I don't know if it was a quasi-mediation session, that both of those, you know, two figures there, those two Titanic figures, don't necessarily want to work together. But the bizarre thing for me is everyone at Hawthorn I speak to and around the Hawthorn Footy Club who's been there, so they can't see how this is going to work. So you say, okay, so Clarko will walk away. They say, oh, no. Clarko's, you know, more pig-headed than ever that he will remain and see out that contract. I think he's really wedded to, you know, maybe taking a year off at the end of next year. Now, his son Matthew's still working through year 12 next year. So I just don't think anything works out for him jumping ship to another club and then not being able to have that year off and not being able to educate himself even more overseas. And so, yeah, I still think the very strong possibility is that he can stay. But it's going to be a hell ride of 2022 for both Sam Mitchell and Alistair Clarkson.
Boy, you've been good today. Very, very good, John. We appreciate time as always.
I was due, wasn't I?